How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Plus, terms and conditions apply.
Say big on your landscaping project now at Menards. We make it easy for you to enhance your outdoor living space with the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block ready to take home today. Build a fire pit or retaining wall with our tumbled Belgian wall blocks on sale now. Save big on your landscaping project at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big.
Donald Trump just did what no other president has been willing to do. He is banning all third world immigrants from coming to America. And as soon as he announced that, his approval rating on immigration skyrocketed. I'm going to display all that data for you to see today. But first, I want to show you what Trump himself said about banning third world immigrants to America.
And they contribute nothing. The welfare is like 88%. They contribute nothing. I don't want them in our country, I'll be honest with you, okay? Somebody would say, oh, that's not politically correct. I don't care. I don't want them in our country. Their country is no good for a reason. Their country stinks, and we don't want them in our country. I can say that about other countries, too. We don't want them to hell. We have to rebuild our country. You know, our country is at a tipping point.
This is not personal. Trump is running a country. It is not his job to make Somalia happy. It is his job to make Americans happy. And if you look at the data right now, immigration to the United States is causing a lot of problems, both economic and social. Chrissy Noem tweeted this out following this meeting with Trump. She said, I just met with the president. I am recommending a full travel ban on every damn country that's been flooding our nation with killers, leeches, and entitlement junkies. Our forefathers built this nation on blood, sweat, and on the unyielding love of freedom, not for foreign invaders to slaughter our heroes, suck dry our hard-earned tax dollars, or snatch the benefits owed to Americans. We don't want them, not one. So really quick, let me offer some moderation here because I have a little bit of a different perspective than I think Chrissy Noem does. I have a lot of immigrant friends. I'm bilingual. My wife is bilingual. We love a lot of immigrants. With that said, and we know, by the way, that not all immigrants are criminals in the way that Chrissy Noem is describing. But that is kind of the point, because we let in so many immigrants at this point that our ability to actually root out the murderers and the leeches has just been totally obliterated. I think that's what Chrissy Noem is trying to say here. No one is saying that all 20 million illegal immigrants in our country are going to go on the street and murder someone, obviously. But when you're so wanton about your immigration policy, you just don't know what's happening at all. Just this week, we have reports that another illegal immigrant was issued a CDL to drive a semi-truck in California and took the life of a family. That never should have happened. I don't care if there's 1,000 to 1. It could be 1,000 fantastic immigrants. They love America, all of that. If that means we're letting one person in to do that, kill the program. Honestly, I mean, why? Why risk that? Again, that's not America first. That would be Somalians first or Mexicans first. And by the way, I've got nothing against personally Mexicans or Somalians. I've got tons of Mexican friends. I don't have any Somalian friends, to be honest with you, because I live in Utah and I don't think there's any Somalians here, but that's neither here nor there. Another thing this week, Somalian immigrants assaulted a little girl in Minnesota. That's a thing. Obviously, the fraud happening in Minnesota, all by Somalian immigrants. So that is happening under a broken immigration system that Trump is now trying to fix. This is a step forward. And that's just on the crime side of things, by the way. If you want to see a shocking graph, look at this one. What you're seeing right now is the welfare distributed. And the three categories, if you're just listening here, are U.S. born-headed households, legal immigrant households, and illegal-headed households. And in every single category, every single one, the lowest group, the group getting the least amount of welfare, are U.S. born-headed households. Any welfare, 39% of U.S. born-headed households are getting it. 52% legal immigrant households are getting it, and 59% illegal-headed households are getting any welfare. Listen to that again. The majority of illegal immigrants, the vast majority, 59%, who are in our country are getting welfare. That is crazy. If you look at cash welfare, which is crazy that we even have that. How could you, just giving out cash is crazy to me. 23% of legal immigrant households are getting that. Food stamps, 48% of illegal-headed households. Medicaid, 39%. You want to know why health insurance is so expensive? 36% of legal immigrant households and 39% of illegal-headed households are on Medicaid. 25% only are U.S. born, which, by the way, still crazy. Those are crazy numbers. I mean, again, if you want to know why healthcare is so expensive, it's because of that. If you want to know why inflation is happening, it's because of that. Housing, same difference. You've got 5% of everyone in America, including legal and illegal immigrants, getting some sort of housing welfare, which is just crazy, unbelievable to me. I mean, that our leaders, again, would prioritize other people over us is evil to the core. I don't think it's Christ-like. I don't think it's what America is built on. I don't think it's intelligent. I don't think it's anything positive. You could go through any list, any sort of ethical framework. I think it's stupid. By the way, no other area in the world is expected to be like this right now. If you look at what other countries are doing, this is the share of the population that were born in another country as of 2020. What you can see, and by the way, if you look at, you got to look at the key at the bottom here. It goes up exponentially. So just because the color is darker does not mean it's like a little bit worse. It's like way worse. The colors are actually kind of congruent with the percentage. What you see in these third world countries is they're all natural born. I mean, in Africa, 1 to 2% are foreign born. But then you go to Australia and America and it's 15, 25% of our population, as well as in Western Europe, are foreign born, which again is political and societal suicide. You just can't function that way. And of course, the countries that are thriving in a lot of cases, like Asia, they have less than 0.5% of foreign-born people there because they actually understand principles of assimilation. Right now, you're even seeing in the West, but in South America, there's just not a lot of foreign-born there. And the reason why is because people want to come to America because it's better. People want to go to West Europe because it's better. But the problem is there's too many of them, and they're not assimilating, and they are creating Somalia in Minnesota. Canada is the same way. And so there's just no, the West is expected to act like this. Africa is not. Asia is not. South America is not. Not only is this unprecedented in the world, by the way, it's also unprecedented in time. In space and time, this is crazy. What you see in this is, by the way, a tweet by Donald Trump. He put this out. You can see the foreign-born number. This is by millions, by the way, over time. And what you see is that there was this big boom in the 1910s, 20s, 30s with Ellis Island, right? It goes up quite a bit to 13, 14 million foreign-born people being in America. But that is dwarfed by what we have today. Today, in 2025, 15.8% of our population is foreign-born. 53 million people. And that has gone up exponentially since about 1990. In 1990, that number was 19 million. Again, that is three times the size today. Scary, scary stuff. We've never had anything like it in our country ever. This is the worst it's ever been. It is purely just a practical matter at this point that it's just not sustainable. Assimilation matters. It matters because it helps nations keep their cultural identity, obviously, but it also protects the immigrants themselves. This is something I've harped on for a long time. These policies are not helping anyone. Everyone remembers that Biden lost tens of thousands of kids. And these are not American kids, these are immigrants. And I feel bad for them, obviously, because they're children. Now we're getting data from the congressional hearings, these investigations that have been going into the Biden administration. We're finding out that these kids actually tried to reach out to the government. They had a hotline that they could reach out. And the reason why they were reaching out is to be saved from potentially abusive situations. And what we're finding out is nobody answered.
So you're telling this committee that the Biden administration, while they were letting all of these unaccompanied minors into the country, and as we've talked about today, they weren't keeping track of them, they issued these kids a hotline that they could call if they had trouble with the sponsor family, that they were put with, and you're saying that 65,000 calls to this hotline designated to protect these kids went unanswered? Is that what you're telling this committee?
Yes, sir.
Wow. That is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Do you know how many staffers the administration assigned to answering these phones and helping these kids?
One.
One staffer?
So in my mind, this is about immigrants too. I love everyone in the world. I don't think that the government has a responsibility for all those people, but I do think that the Democrat policies hurt Americans and they also hurt immigrants, and I think that's evil. And they have kids' bloods on their hands. Also, if you want to know why Trump is banning immigration from third world countries, look no further than this man I'm going to show you. His name is Wajahat Ali. He's an activist, went viral for saying, actually, the honest thing is horrible, but it's honest. Here is his take on why he's trying to take over our country.
You have lost. You lost. The mistake that you made is you let us in the first place. See, that's the thing with brown people. I'm going to say this as a brown person. There's a lot of us. Like a lot. There's like 1.2 billion in India. There's more than 200 million in Pakistan. There's like 170 million in Bangladesh. Those are just the people there. I'm not even talking about the folks who are expats or immigrants. There's a bunch of us. And we breed. We're a breeding people. And the problem is you let us in 1965. There were a few of us beforehand. But once you let one of us in, you know what happens with brown folks? Our grandmother comes, our grandfather comes, our uncle comes, our aunt comes, our cousin comes, our second cousin comes, our third cousin comes. Then we have kids, a bunch of kids. And then
so he's very nasty, but he's not wrong. Immigrants have way more kids than us. They have a strong sense of family and culture, and so they're going to want to get together. And they love their former country more than America. All of that is true. The way he's flaunting it is horrible, but it's not wrong. So the question then, to his point, is why did we let them in the first place? And the good news is Trump is reversing that now by making third world immigration obsolete, banned, not okay anymore. By the numbers, by the way, it is incredibly popular among Americans. We have polling that just came out. The question, do you support or oppose a moratorium on immigration from third world countries? And in the blue, you see strongly support, which is the largest section of the pie, and somewhat support. That brings up 55% of people. That is a huge majority in terms of policy decision. You do not get 55% plus very often. You then have 10% that says they don't know. So 65% is either cool with it or neutral on it. That brings up only 35%, basically the Democrat base, that is not okay with it. Why are they not okay with it? Because they need these people in order to win elections. They are trying to get these people into our country, grant them some sort of amnesty and citizenship so they can vote. Immigration, it's very clear at this point, is Trump's policy. We've known that for a long time, but sometimes some of Trump's strong rhetoric has changed the approval rating. It has ebbed and flowed. What I'm seeing right now in Trump's second term, if you look right now, his approval rating is not fantastic. It's in the high 30s, low 40s. It's not amazing. His immigration approval has remained robust, big time. It's been fantastic. It has been more robust than in his first term. And I think people, that's because there's this new wave of understanding what immigration is doing to our economy, to our social fabric. And I think Trump needs to double down on this. His approval is always good on it, but he needs to really double down on it if he wants the rest of his policies to get pushed up by these numbers. What's interesting is Democrats right now are falling into Trump's hands because they're just so reactionary. They just have to do everything the opposite of what Trump does, even if he's doing something very popular. And so they oppose his immigration plan on the third world. Right now, Democrat states are refusing to give the federal government SNAP data because of all the welfare that they are giving illegal immigrants and all the fraud going on. And so they've just said, hey, we're not going to tell you what's happening because we'll be exposed. They don't want that data to get out. So Trump's agriculture secretary said, fine, you don't get SNAP anymore, period.
But 21 states, including California, New York, and Minnesota, the blue states, continue to say no. So as of next week, we have begun and will begin to stop moving federal funds into those states until they comply and they tell us and allow us to partner with them to root out this fraud and to protect the American taxpayer.
That's the way to do it. There is zero reason Americans should have to pay for others who aren't willing to even help themselves. And of course, there's zero reason the federal government should give states money if they won't comply with just the most basic requests like seeing their state data. In 1 month, guys, we are at the 150th anniversary of our country. And in celebration of that, Quick Tax America is doing all federal tax returns for only $76. That's right, $17.76, $76. They're fantastic. Again, they will do any federal tax return for you. All you have to do is fill out a 15-minute questionnaire so they can understand your taxes. You then have a 15-minute call with a tax professional, and that's it. They do all the work for you for way cheaper than the big guys, and the big guys make you do all the work. Go check them out right now. The link is in the description below. You do not want lower prices. That is what the Washington Post said today. It has gotten a lot of people angry, to say the least, people on the left and on the right, and I get why, because obviously you hear, oh, prices are dropping. You think that's a good thing, right? But this article from the Washington Post, it is called Why You May Not Want Lower Prices as Much as You Think You Do. They're actually right, guys. And it highlights the very simple fact, which is that nobody in America or anywhere in the West really understands economics at all. And it is a huge problem. It is why Trump's approval on the economy is abysmal. Right now, if you look, he's in the high 20s, low 30s, which is not going to win him the midterms. It is not good. And if you stick with me, by the end of this video, you will know why prices dropping would be a horrible thing. And this article is actually quite well written. Here's what the article says. They start off, they say, the U.S. economy is in a weird spot. Inflation has cooled dramatically since its 2022 spike of about 9%. As of October 2025, the consumer price index was up just 2.6% from a year earlier, close to the Federal Reserve's 2% target. Unemployment is a low 4.1% and consumer spending remains strong, powering most of the nation's growth. Still, prices aren't falling. They're just rising more slowly. And once prices go up, they rarely come back down. Gas might fluctuate, but your rent or the cost of a haircut, those stick. This creates a paradox. The economy is humming along, but people feel broke. Surveys show 70% of Americans think prices are too high, and 60% say they're worse off financially than a year ago. Okay, so I mean, I'm surprised by that number. 70% of Americans think prices are too high. I think that number could be 100%. I think we all wish prices were lower. But what they're saying here is the damage is done. Things are getting worse, but at a slower rate under Trump than they were under Biden, and we're still hurting big time from that inflation from Biden, because wage growth did not quite match inflation, or at least it doesn't feel for many people in many industries. And this is where we get into deflation, which is when prices actually drop because currency becomes worth more. This is what the Washington Post says. They say deflation happens when prices fall across the board, often because demand dries up, people stop buying, companies cut production, workers lose jobs. It sounds like a sale, but it's more like a fire sale signaling doom. Consider the Great Depression. From 1929 to 1933, prices plunged 25%. People delayed purchases, expecting even lower prices tomorrow. Businesses slashed wages, laid off workers. Debts became harder to pay as dollars gained value. The spiral lasted years. Again, that mortgage that you have gets cheaper. I'm taking an interlude here in the middle. That mortgage that you have gets cheaper every year because of inflation. Under deflation, the opposite is true. I'll continue. Japan's lost decade in the 1990s was similar. After an asset bubble burst, prices stagnated or fell. Banks hoarded cash, companies zombified, and growth flatlined for a generation. Even mild deflation is trouble. In 2008, during the financial crisis, oil prices crashed 70%. It felt like a relief at the pump, but it hammered energy jobs and exporters. So again, if you're in Pennsylvania or maybe Texas and you work in oil refinery, the consumers are looking around and they're thinking, sweet, you know, gas is $150. This is awesome. But there's 50,000 people, or frankly more, there could be a million people losing their job in the oil industry because of a depression that hits. They continue saying, today, targeted price drops, like in tech, where gadgets get cheaper, are fine. They reflect innovation, but broad declines, that's when the Fed panics. We're walking a tightrope, Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell said in a recent speech. Too hot and inflation burns. Too cold and the whole economy freezes. So in other words, guys, the only time deflation occurs or prices drop is when we go into recession and nobody has jobs. That's the problem. I've heard a lot of people out there, especially my age, because I'm Gen Z and a lot of us can't buy houses right now. It's very difficult. I've heard a lot of people saying that they want the housing market to crash so they can buy a house. And the problem is that's a horrible idea, because if that happened, you would not have a job to buy the house in the first place. You couldn't buy the dip. The only people that might be able to survive that are rich people who would then be able to buy up more houses. So that's not a good thing. The Post continues. They say high prices aren't all bad. They've juiced corporate profits, which hit record highs in 2024. That money funded hiring sprees and wage increases. That's why we've got pretty good employment rates right now. They say average hourly earnings are actually up 20% since 2020, outpacing inflation. In some sectors like manufacturing, higher prices encourage investment in automation and supply chains, making the economy more resilient. Quote, think of it this way. If eggs are $7 a dozen, farmers can afford to expand flocks or pay workers better, said a Midwestern grocery shopper named Maria Lopez, pushing her cart through a Kansas City store. I miss cheap food, but if prices dropped that much now, I'd worry that my neighbor's factory job would vanish overnight. That is all true. Here is the conclusion that they come to, and I think that this is very wise. They say lower income households who spend most of their money on essentials feel inflation acutely. A 25% grocery spike hits harder when you're living paycheck to paycheck, but deflation could be worse for them. Job losses ripple fastest through service and blue collar work. In the Depression, unemployment topped 25%. Economists like Zandi model this out. They say a 1% deflation shock could shave 2% off GDP and add 1.5 million jobless claims in a year. Inflation is a tax on the poor, but deflation is a guillotine. So the trade-off really comes down to this, guys. Would you rather have prices rise slowly or lose your job? And this is what a lot of people are not considering because, again, they don't understand economics. That's why I'm talking about this in the video. Both are bad, obviously, but one is so much worse. So much worse. And the problem we're having right now is as prices rise, people want free handouts. You go to the grocery store, it's too expensive. So you want healthcare subsidies. You want food stamps. You want clean EV credits. All of those things, all that does is make things more expensive. They're literally turning to the source that has caused the problem, which of course is government. And it's for as much as I struggle with Thomas Massie and how much he frustrates me with his political antics, he is absolutely right that all of our problems are coming from government spending. If you stop that, you stop the inflation and you don't have deflation either. Hey guys, I wanted to invite you to subscribe to my Substack. Substack is a weekly newsletter that comes right to your email and it's completely free to you. I talk about things I'm not able to get to on the show, or I talk about things that I can't talk about because big tech will censor me. Substack's fantastic. They never censor me. I'm able to talk about some really great things. Go check it out right now. The link is in the description below.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.